Happy Monday, everybody. And this is Tyler Gallagher. And I'm with
Douglas Newsom. Hello, everybody.
And I'm back this week. Last week I was off. And we had wonderful Donald Newsom filling in. Isn't that correct?
My twin brother actually tuned in. Of course, this is our inner dialogue, but we had the pleasure to have both twins on. My brother and I always enjoy talking with each other. You know, we usually work so many hours that we don't often get a chance just to sit back and talk about things. As Tyler and I, we do every single day. We come to understandings and epiphanies every single day, and I kind of feel a little bit sad beside myself because we no longer get that opportunity over the next couple of weeks because I'm here in Washington State spending a little bit of time with my mother.
But, you know, like I was telling Doug, I think that's probably one of the most noble things is to be able to take time off from our busy lives and go. Doug's hanging out with his mother. And I think it's just such a phenomenal thing to be able to do that in this day and age where, you know, so much of us get caught up in life. So kudos to Douglas.
Well, thank you. I couldn't imagine a place I'd rather be than with my mother at this time of life. You know, there are a lot of important things. Like, for example, tomorrow we have a Super Tuesday, and that's really, really important. But nothing is more important than being with family in a time of need. And I wouldn't trade where I'm at for all the tea in China.
I love that. And I can guarantee your mom, it means more to her than you'll ever know.
Well, you know, there's something to be said about providing a little bit of comfort at this time. You know, there's when you go through that end point in your life, there's fear. And there's sometimes that loneliness. To take those last few steps alone, it is hard, and I don't think anybody should have to, especially if they've got family. And that's really the importance of family, that comfort. So it takes away, I'm sure, a lot of the fear and the loneliness. And even for me, I mean, I couldn't imagine if I wasn't here. You know, my father passed away a few months ago, my brothers and my father, I wasn't here, and I really am sad about that. And so I'm not going to make that same mistake twice.
I love that, and I think that's an incredible thing, you know, to be able to live life learning from your mistakes, you know, and moving forward.
Indeed. Well, Tyler, you've been learning quite a bit these past few days about yourself. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that, Tyler?
Yeah, I got to tell you, Doug, you know, it's so funny, I've really made 2008 a year to remember, as the word I like to use, things I've always known. And, you know, and I got to tell you, it's been a wonderful journey. But at the same time, I think when one's opening up to themselves, you're opening up to the world. You know, when you're really opening up and you're getting to know who you are and you're getting to really embrace everything about yourself, you're really opening up to the world. And I think with that comes an opening up to all energies around.
You know, it's fun. I see, when I first started to open up to love, it made me, in the beginning, kind of feel weak. Did you ever get that feeling when you started to...
Do you
know what I mean?
Uh-huh, 100%.
And that's hard because on so many levels, being masculine as men are... And feeling that kind of a weakness, or when somebody gets really upset at you and you feel, okay, I could do the loving thing, I could feel the moment rather than get mad at the moment, really just feel the moment and acknowledge it for what it is. That was the hardest thing for me to do. It's kind of like having a mother get too close to you when you're young and smother you with kisses. You kind of want to push away.
Yeah.
But there are times when you need that. You need to embrace that and feel that to really make an impact.
I know. And you know what? I'm really starting to... I mean, this has occurred my whole life. Don't get me wrong. This is something, you know, that I... But I think more recently than ever, just had some extreme challenges energy-wise. I feel almost like... sometimes a battle with energy, which is strange. I know this sounds so weird, and I'm just being an open, you know, a person with you, but I feel like if I can be in a room and feel if it's good energy or bad energy and let it affect me.
I've noticed that about you, yeah. Tyler. You're like a feeling receptor. If the energy in the room is off, you feel off. If it's angry, you can feel angry. You're quite capable of sizing up a situation immediately through feelings, even more so than I am, which is amazing that you're capable of doing that. And I think in many ways like we've spoken before, it's good and it can be bad. Not bad, but on the opposite side of the spectrum, you feel that pain more than a person who can just kind of be oblivious to it.
Yeah, you know, something really struck me when you just talked. And, you know, I'm just a regular person who's just really started to get to know who I am. And, you know, I truly believe, you know, and you just kind of validated it for me. I think that everybody, once they start to really grow and learn who they are, you know, they really start to become receptive to energies around them.
Yes.
And yeah. I got to tell you, one thing I'm really, really learning, and it's kind of a beautiful thing, and it more instills a belief I've always had. I truly believe as we grow to become who we are, you will find yourself distancing from your ego.
Indeed.
You almost find that your ego, it's almost like you have...
In the beginning, you see it.
I play video games. This is a terrible analogy. But it almost seems like you have these glasses on that you can see things you didn't see before. And one of them is this ego, which you didn't even know existed.
Yes.
You didn't know how it held you down. You had no idea.
Yes.
And I got to tell you, the struggles that I do have, you know, and I'm being an honest, open person. They a lot of the times, these things come from ego. Like, you know, I'll give you, for example, today, there's a lot of bad energy, you know, where I was, and it made me defensive with somebody, and I disconnected from them when I could have connected with them. Do you know what I mean? And I think that
yes.
I got defensive because my ego, you know, it doesn't matter who's in the right or who's in the wrong. I think your ego just always wants to be right. Even if it is right, it still wants to prove that it's right.
It takes so much effort to acknowledge it in yourself and to find that peace within takes great strength. But what takes even greater strength is to share that peace with others to some degree. Because on many ways, we do want to disconnect. If once we start feeling energy, many times we become hermits or recluses because we can't deal with that sort of interplay within ourselves. And those people who put themselves out in those situations where they get bombarded by negative energy, when you're on the road and everybody's screaming and you got people trying to cut you off and buses trying to cut you off to the side, and when you go into work and you hear people screaming about how bad their day is or how bad their work is and how nobody gets anything done, and then they might take it out on you, that can be really difficult to deal with, especially when you're coming in at a peaceful state and immediately the energy in the room just goes upside down for you.
And I got to tell you this. I think what I'm really learning, and I mean, I've always, you know, it's something that's really being instilled in me, is that energy you don't need to, if this makes any sense, there's a place that I've tapped into, and I tap in and out of it. I'm learning to go there more often. But there's a place where it's almost like that energy only exists if you believe in it, if that makes any sense. I mean, it's there, right? Someone could be pissed off, but it can only affect you if you let them in.
Yes.
If you are in your peak state and are truly in a loving place, nothing can penetrate that. And, you know, I've been... So I think the challenge for me recently, you know, is really, now that I'm opening up, I have to learn really to connect to love, because that's the only thing that can really help me continue to open up and discover who I am, because once opened up like that, you know, energy and stuff around you can affect you. So I'm really learning, I guess you could say, how powerful love really is. I really, truly believe love is the most powerful thing, man. It is so powerful. You could have the most angry individual with nothing but hatred on their mind, and if you can really, truly tap into a place of no ego and just love, you can actually disrupt that feeling for them.
Well, you've done that to me millions of times. Yeah, you know, they're and I see that in you, and oftentimes it makes me, you know, remember back to the times when I felt squirmy because there's so much love in the room when you do that to me. And I'm really astounded by that because I always thought I was, you know, a very loving and very kind person, but you're showing me that you've got that ability, that depth within you. I, you know, one of the things that helped me in the very beginning, and I was talking to Tyler just recently on the phone, and I promised him something. As I can promise anybody out there, the same thing will occur. Initially, when you feel those negative energies and you get mad at him, it's not so much, you know, what you do, but what you think. You know, sometimes you're in those negative energies and your head is just screaming, ah, that son of a gun, and really, it's your thoughts, because it all starts with the thoughts. Everything else is secondary, because it starts with your thought, and then you have then you act upon that thought. So when I get into initially, I can remember when I went through all these feelings, when I, you know, my days would really suck, and I'd see something really bad, and I'd really want to get angry, and I'd stop myself, and it took time, it took energy, it took focus to say, I forgive that moment. And every day I'd find myself doing this more and more and more, but it was hard initially because you'd come home, you'd work at it all day to feel loving, and then you'd hear something on the news that would say, we're going into World War III, or let's another 5,000 people died, or some government agency just ripped us off at $30 billion, right? And I'd get really mad inside again. I couldn't, and I'd feel more anger. It was like the more I felt love, the more angry I got at those situations that were the opposite of love. But over time, as I continued to say, I forgive that. I forgive that person. They aren't aware. They're perfect. They're just unaware. Then sooner or later, it becomes more automatic. And then it goes beyond, it gets to a point where it becomes just a part of you. You don't even think about it anymore. It just automatically happens, and you're not working at it anymore. It just is what it is.
And I got to tell you this. I truly believe, on a subconscious level, people are really starting to wake up. Because if you really tap into the most loving part of your being, subconsciously, you can affect people around you, and it's almost like they don't know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And I think that's such a beautiful thing. But, you know, you talk about it more and more. I think just so deeply, I really, really, really want to learn how to tap into that place within me more often. I've gotten a taste of it, and I just love it so much. It feels so much better than coming home being like, you know, things around are not what they should be, or you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm, I do. Today, you know, speaking about feelings.
Yeah.
You know, one of the ways I evaluate things more, and so do you.
Hold on 2 seconds.
Sure.
I want you to remember the word feeling, because I want to talk about that. But go ahead. Sorry, please tell your story. I just wanted to make sure feeling, we remember to go back to that.
All right. Well, sometimes I evaluate, well, not sometimes, all the times. I'm evaluating how I feel about what people say. And today, you know, watching the political scene and watching all the political candidates, I evaluate these candidates on how I feel about what they're saying. I know we all do to some degree. We use logic, and in many ways, 99% of us just use logic. We don't actually feel what they're saying. We don't say, okay, is that a right or wrong based on how I feel about it? And I, you know, I see such a great majority of people waking up, and such, and the youth today, the young,
yes,
coming out four times more, they say, four times greater numbers than ever in the history, And these young people, they don't want war.
I know.
They want peace. They think the economy is more important, that how the economy is doing is more important than national security.
You know, I
gotta
tell you.
That stuns me.
And I gotta tell you, this goes back to the conversation we had, Doug, and I'm speaking from that generation, because if most of you know, I'm younger. I'm in my early 20s. I gotta tell you, and the people, my friends around me, and the youth, the people of my age, I gotta tell you, I believe so strongly that we're coming out of an industrial age. And, you know, I don't know whatever people know, but, you know, you've got secret societies and you've got all this kind of propaganda and fixing of things. But you kind of look at all these things going on and you look at some of the turmoil and you notice that it's from industrial agers. You know what I mean? Older generations who kind of live from an animal instinct. And having evolved into this new generation, this new evolution occurring, and it's almost like they think that their secret societies and their manipulations and their hurting each other and the stomping on others is going to get them ahead. But I promise you, speaking from my generation, this is going to stop. Once that generation passes away and those old beliefs are destroyed, it's going to be a different world that we live in, and I'm so excited and so anxious for that time to unfold. But I got to tell you, you know, as much as you see hatred and hurt and whatnot in the world, I want to say it from my heart, and I know I'm right. You have nothing to worry about, because the generations that have not grown up in the industrial age, the generations that understand we're all connected, we all came from the same place, that this is a reward that we're living.
I totally agree.
A massive change. What's that?
I say I totally agree. Youth today
are brilliant, loving people.
Loving souls, and they realize the power of love. Today, the power of love is on people's lips and minds.
And I got to tell you, you know, and this, you know this. This was from a friend of ours that we went out for lunch with. You know, the younger generation, you know, even younger than mine, they're not afraid to tell each other they love each other.
Yes.
And I got to tell you, we were having lunch with this wonderful lady, and she was talking about her son. And she was saying how when they were saying goodbye to each other at school, her son was saying to her, like, his guy friends, I love you, man. Have a great night. Lots of love. And, like, it's just this different, and it's absolutely so beautiful. And, you know, as much as we see this hatred and this whatnot, it is the worst it's going to get, because I promise you, my generation, I can tell you from experience, we're not from the industrial thoughts. We're not from, you know what I mean? So
the dynasty thoughts of amassing wealth and amassing power for the sake of that.
That is so beautiful what you just said. Oh, please, I know exactly what's on your mind. Go ahead, Doug. And this is so true, what Doug's about to say. This is a talk we had, and I'm in such full belief of it. And I admire a gentleman for what Doug's about to say. But go ahead, Doug.
Well, and you've brought this to my attention many, many times. Matter of fact, this is something you probably bring up daily.
All the time. Yeah, go ahead.
Is the idea that there are people out there with great wealth, great fortunes, like Bill Gates.
Yep.
Like, go ahead.
My favorite, Warren Buffett.
Warren Buffett. Who have a real desire to help the world, to give back to the world, to give all that they've got to help make things better. And, you know, I don't know if that's a new phenomenon, but, and maybe just we see it in our lifetime because we are living in this age, but today we're seeing multi-billionaires giving everything they have away to help the world.
And can I say this, because I share this story all the time. I don't know if any of you are aware of Warren Buffett. He's the second wealthiest guy in the world. He made it all from investing. I've admired him from a young age. I was a financial planner at the age of 18, so I learned about them early. And I got to tell you, this is a gentleman. I don't care how much people put out there and what you can say. You got to look at the behaviors of people. I think that there will always be in this world a level of conspiracy, a level of judgment, a level of, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Making stuff up. But you know what? When you look at human behavior and what they do, you know, you can make your own judgments. And I got to tell you, Warren Buffett, second wealthiest guy in the world, you know, lived the most humble life. He still lives in the same house he bought in the 40s. He drove the same pickup truck for years. I think he just got like a Toyota because, just lived a very humble life. And if any of you aren't aware, now you are. He's worth $42 billion, I believe. And this last year, correct me if I'm wrong, he gave $38 billion of his money away to five different charities. The one most known is the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. But you can read up about it. But this is a gentleman. I got to tell you, I really think he gets it.
Yeah.
I really think it's like he's been around before, and I think that he's somebody who's kind of because of his philanthropy. A lot of people out there are just trying to follow and doing sort of, you know what I mean?
You know, one
like
of the
Michael Dell and others trying to follow in that sort of footstep.
I think there is going to be more and more people following suit. One of the things that Warren Buffett, I always wonder, how the heck do you change the world as we know it? You and I talk about this. How do we change the world? Well, an understanding might be, well, we got to get better government, or an understanding might be that we've got to be more loving. Another understanding might be that we got to just stop the idea that killing for any reason is good and value life more. But Warren Buffett came out with has an idea that you told me about that rung with so much. It sounded so powerful, and it sounded like such a cure to today's modern problems.
Yeah.
I was simply amazed that nobody really brings it out to the forefront.
Yeah, no one sees this. But when in our discussions, I'm like, you got to look at this and think about. And what's that?
Warren Buffett does not believe in passing on dynasty wealth.
It's brilliant.
When you die.
Dynasty wealth. And, Doug and I had a profound conversation, and I could guarantee you guys and I've met them personally, so I can tell you from experience, it's not a knowledge, this is a knowing, that, there is a level of problems caused by, this one individual living his life, creating an enormous amount of wealth, say the Fords or Rockefeller, and it going down to their generation who doesn't have to work for it, who doesn't know what it's like, who doesn't hold the same values, who lives in a world coming up of just spoiled.
Silver spooned,
and they end up growing the largest egos.
They own the biggest companies. They keep on buying the companies. They get into positions of power. They're able to lobby on so many levels, even governments when they get to a certain size, or politicians. And they really have no feeling for the common man because they've never had to really do what the common man had to do.
And it's not their fault. They just don't understand it.
Yeah, they're unaware because life never gave them the ability to come up in a way that would give them that awareness.
So then they start living in the ego.
Mm-hmm.
They're special.
Mm-hmm.
Into this. They're more powerful than anybody.
Yep.
Everyone has to bow down to them. And I could guarantee you a lot of the corruption and the problems and the corporate garbage we see today, all of that, it comes from dynasty wealth. A beautiful a person in their family tree creating this wealth, and probably was the most beautiful person and creating such enormous wealth that not even the greediest, most egotistical person could spend it all in their lifetime, and thus creating, but not knowing.
And then passing it on to kids really without the understanding that it might be harmful. If we had some sort of a law that said you could only pass on X amount of dollars to each person, let's call it $1 million.
Yeah.
And that was the extent. When you died, the rest had to go to all the charities you wanted, but you had to give it away to something good. We would have a change.
In this world, there would be enormous change.
So Warren Buffett,
and let me tell you, if you were inherited $1 million, I could tell you, I know hundreds of people who could take that million and build an empire.
Mm-hmm.
But they would appreciate it, they would work for it, and you know what I mean?
Yes.
You know what's so strange, though, is this guy, Warren Buffett, is so low-key. You don't hear about him. And I don't, you know...
His giving anyways, really, until just recently. But, he was a very quiet man, and not in politics, but when it came to what he said, he spoke softly. But we do listen.
I've got to tell you, I think a man like him, who stands so strong on dynasty wealth, I honestly think he knows something that we don't know.
Yeah.
And I got to tell you, and I will say it for myself, Warren Buffett, I don't care what way you put it, he has done what 99.9% of the people in this world, including myself, could not do.
99.999 taken to the ninth power.
Made billions of dollars and lived a humble experience. He has a humble office for Berkshire Hathaway. It is the wealthiest investment institution. Berkshire Hathaway would blow your mind how much money they make, which I'm sure a lot of you are aware of. He took that stock from... let's just say if you own Berkshire Hathaway today, you'd be a multi-millionaire if you had shares in Berkshire Hathaway from early in the 1900s when he took it over.
You know how I know you're such a good person to represent this information is because in your life, the dynamics of your life involve a lot of people being around people of very great wealth. Am I not correct on saying that?
I've had some wonderful individuals in my path that were fortunate. Yeah, absolutely.
That have a lot of money, but on so many levels, seeing so many of these people having money, a lot of those people have severe problems. Would you agree?
Well, I was telling Doug, and most especially in Los Angeles, I don't want to divulge on my life, but I did get to live an experience where I met some very celebrities and well-to-do people that have money like you wouldn't even know what to do with. And
they're not happy, most of them.
No, they're not happy, but it was so depressing, Doug, and I mentioned it to everybody. And, I believe everything in life happens for a reason, and this was good for me to see what I don't want to be. And I'm not – I don't put judgment. I'm just telling the facts. 90% of these individuals that I met, probably 99% of them, to be truthful, all had drug or alcohol problems, or it was really a sad situation.
And they probably held their nose up, didn't they? They belittled maybe their worker. They didn't.
The big ones that I saw, and I got to tell you, I met people who I was just blown away to meet and then let down so quickly upon meeting them. I remember, I'm an actor, and I remember meeting a huge agent in this town, reps the biggest actors, all A-listers. His house is multi-million dollar house. Blow your mind, this guy, what he's created. Still very successful. I'm not going to divulge the name. But I as an actor, I make sure I watch the business and what agents are who, and just I make sure I understand the business I'm in. And I remember I was so excited to meet this guy because a friend of mine, knew him, and I remember going to meet him. And when I met him, an older fellow, he's older in his 80s, his jaw was mangled, and he's nice to meet you, and he said, "I'm sorry, I messed up," and the guy was on drugs.
Yeah, it
was so depressing, but at the same time, Doug, I attribute it to the industrial age. He comes from an age where drugs and ego and money and materialism and, you know, whatever it is.
Yeah.
I call it old Hollywood, and I believe it's an end of an era for him. I saw this guy. He's an older. He looked very, very lonely. All the people around him were very sad. And this is just one individual, so I can only imagine.
Yeah.
But, I really believe that there's something with dynasty wealth that has created a lot of problems, and I find it very interesting that a man as special as Warren Buffett, who made billions and did not buy yachts, did not buy lavish properties, even Bill Gates made billions, and I don't know if you guys know, Bill Gates' house is nuts, like worth billions of dollars.
Yeah.
The technology in his house will blow your mind, but didn't do that, Warren Buffett. He lives in the same house he lived in the 40s, pickup truck. 99.9% of us could not do it, including myself. And the fact that he makes such a strong statement on dynasty wealth, I just tend to think this guy may know something we don't know.
And he may know it because he's around those people with that kind of wealth. He sees what sort of behavior and ideas that they hold dear to, and probably doesn't want to be associated. Well, I mean, he is associated to some degree in that he has to work with these people, but he sees what they're like and what it's done to them. What it's done to everybody else.
You know what's so great is he walks the walk.
Yes.
He sees this. He sees that it's something that's not right, and he makes it a point to show the world that, hey, this is my statement to show. And I'm sure he's seen himself dynasty wealth and the corruption it's caused.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, that's the same. My mother has a saying, absolute power corrupts absolutely. I don't know if that's so true. I don't like to extend that sort of an idea insofar as that represents everybody, because I think that in some cases, like a man like Gandhi or Christ or anybody that could have that kind of wealth may not be absolutely corrupted by power.
Right.
But, I just lost my train of thought.
Well,
I've never done that in a long time.
I got to add to that.
Go, man, go.
Warren Buffett went to the University of Nebraska. He was not born into massive wealth. And I think there's something to be said about the journey and creating that wealth. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I think there's something to be said about knowing and appreciating and of how hard it was to get that wealth. And you know what I mean? I just think there's a different frame of mind from the one who created it to the one who inherited it.
Yes.
And,
well, what I see is simple pleasures sometimes are forgotten. That when you grow up with such wealth, the simpler pleasures seem so mundane. It's almost like they get bored.
And you get you want even more pleasure.
Yeah, it's always like, you gotta up it. It's like a drug.
Yeah.
It just doesn't, the drug never satisfies, but they're always looking for the higher high. The next great fix. Because they're trained to think like that. They've trained themselves to think like that. Never to be happy. Never to be satisfied. Always gotta do something more to give themselves that value or that leg up. And that's sad. Nobody's ever said, step back, you're perfect as you are. Don't you love life right now just as it is? Can't you feel that breeze on your face? Isn't that wonderful?
And coming from dynasty wealth, how could you learn that? It's almost like you're doing that child or that individual a disservice by giving them so much wealth.
Yes, yes, you're almost giving them the gift of future unhappiness.
Yes. Whereas if you gave them a little bit and taught them how to create, taught them how to fish, would be a great analogy taken from the Bible, you might have a different outcome.
Yes. Yeah, I was watching a show today on Aborigine tribes in New Guinea and there was a fighting and strife that broke out, and some of the elder members of the clan, when they couldn't be a part of doing the daily rituals because they got too old or they were too feeble or they were hurt in war, they felt really bad because they couldn't do those things that actually were productive, part of the community, the helping hand, like cooking the food. And that really hurt them. Well, today, if I'd be like, not me, but a lot of people would be like, oh, I need a cook, and I need a chauffeur, and I need a butler. And getting all these people to do all their work for them, where when we go back to some of these more primitive tribes, they feel sad, and they hold themselves in less esteem if they can't actually do these things.
That's an interesting analogy.
Yeah, and I
got to tell you this, you know, in tying back into, you know, our other shows, I truly believe that this life is a reward. And, you know, I got to tell you, I know that there's butlers and there's maids out there who take pride, and that's part of their reward, is being able to live in a lavish house and being able to cook and being able to watch. And you know what I mean? And also the same for individuals who, you know, employ them. This life is all about a reward.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all about what makes you happy.
Indeed.
You know what I mean? And I'm not saying that wealth is a bad thing. You know, I'm not saying that at all. And I'm not saying all dynasty wealth. But I'm just saying that, you know, there could be in that situation. Do you know what I mean?
You know, when we grow up from toddlers forward and we hear things like, in order to be happy, you have to have this, or you got to work hard, and you got to get a good job, or you got to find a good wife, or you got to have good children, or you got to do this. You got to. There's always something you got to do before somebody, you know, in somebody else's mind to be better. It's never, gosh, you're perfect just the way you are. Oh, why don't do anything that makes you happy? What makes you happy? We don't do that. We always impose what we as individuals think makes ourselves happy onto another person. And they grow up not realizing that their happiness might be different. They're kind of holding on to the ideas that that are put down by their family or their schools or their political system or something for them to be happy. They don't find it within, because we don't tell them they can find it within.
Yep.
We tell them the only way they can get there is how we tell them to get there. That's wrong, because each of us has a different thing that makes us happy. That's what makes us unique.
You know, I want to say this. I feel so strong to keep saying this. I really, truly believe when you talk about all these things, money doesn't grow on tree, money is the root of all evil, you know, you can't do this, you can't do that. Do you know where all of this stems from, Doug?
Mm-hmm.
The industrial age. And I got to tell you, I cannot wait until that industrial age is finished. But there's no more, you know what I mean?
We might be coming to even a more catalytic time in our period, which is a global sort of not an industrial age per se, but a globalization of the world, which might even be a greater catalyst to change, because on one side you have bigger companies amalgamating in the U.S. to compete on a global level. So you have capitalism allowing for companies to get even bigger, so they can not only just compete here, they compete globally. And this is, I think, a far cry from the common man, looking at the common man saying, how can we make his life better? We see bigger companies, bigger governments, more universal standards imposed on numerous cultures. I mean, cultures. There's not going to be cultures too much anymore. There's going to be one ruling understanding, and we're all going to be fitting into that little box, little scenario. And for me, that's shame. That's sad.
I have to tell you this. You can say that, right?
But it'll create a change,
No. And
it's going to create a change at the bottom.
Here's what I have to add to that. I feel very strong to say this. We may think that our egos can let that happen, that our egos will create that. But I promise you, mark my words, I'm telling you, this world is about to see the most beautiful change. I'm telling you for a fact. You look at the kids coming into this world, and I've had this conversation with you before. I've had profound conversations with an 11-year-old. All started by him. I've had profound conversations with young individuals, all themselves bringing it up. And I got to tell you, whether the industrial age people, ego, want control, want to make this global control, money, they can all day do that. But as this new world emerges, where intuition will be just as common as intellect and reading a book, that everybody will have it, they will start to see that they have absolutely no power.
By the way, though, this is what I was trying to get at, is I think that this change, this globalization, this change is actually the reason why there's so many changes in the young. I think on some levels it's like if we see the bad, then we're able to know why it's bad and why we want the good. So on that level, it's just a more of a polarity to one way, showing us why there's going to be a polarity on the other, why people are going to wake up. We're waking up quicker because we're seeing more of a dynamic where you have really, really bad and really, really good. And the worse it gets, the worse the more insane this world becomes, the more people wake up. So it's not, maybe it's not such a bad thing. It's like we almost need this to wake everybody up. I wish that weren't true. I wish we could wake up just like, let's say, the Native Indians and just be happy the way things were. But that's not. Now we have things that are propelling us into the future, and we're waking up because of it. So on that level...
Here's the thing, though. Here's what you know, and that's interesting, and, you know, you do say that, but this, I'm telling you, is such truth. This generation, whoever they are, that's causing all this strife and all of this, you know, hurt and pain in the world, right? They have a time limit before they're dead. Everybody comes here and dies. I can tell you this. No, it's part of the journey, right?
Yeah.
I can promise you this. Once they all pass away, because they will, I'll pass away too, I can guarantee you the generation that's coming into this world, the generation that's growing into this world, they do not connect to those values.
I would agree. More and more people are disconnecting.
Exactly.
Yes.
You look at secret societies. You look at all of these, you know, Bilderberg. I don't know if anybody knows, Trilateral Group. You look at all these, you know, institutions which we say are controlling the world. I can guarantee you, you go to these meetings, it's all old men. And old ladies. So, and no offense, there's nothing wrong with being old. I'm going to be old one day. But old values, old beliefs. And it's an absolute tragedy that they don't know what their intuition is, and they don't know what love is, and that they didn't grow up in that age, and all they know is ego and anger and hurt and tearing another down to move forward. But I got to tell you, that is, there's no connection to that generation. It stops when they pass away, because our generation, this generation who will be taking over one day, we do not feel that. We feel love. We come from a place of love. We have a different understanding with each other. We connect to each other differently, and I can guarantee you, what's going on in the world is nothing but a backlash, or is nothing but the last fight of a dying generation.
The remnants. I believe that's why we're here. On so many levels, Tyler, I believe this is a time period where we're going to see such conscious change.
Absolutely. And let me tell you this.
We're kind of happy to be here, in a matter of fact.
All of a sudden tomorrow, Doug, everybody started tapping into their intuition, and they started learning that this has always existed and that we're all connected, and everybody started to realize this. Those guys that lie to you at work, those guys that are, you know, cheating, and they're all of a sudden naked. They're exposed.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? That guy who lied to you and you believed them, all of a sudden the next day you go to work and you see through all that, are you not going to see a change in the world?
Yeah.
And I promise you, that's what's on its way.
I believe that. I believe that. I've always believed in an idea called the 100th monkey dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that we're going to see that dynamic through people on a conscious level. Once enough of us hit a certain number, that information is going to be, it's already available to us all, but it'll just kind of filter to us all where we'll recognize it and we'll go, aha!
Yep.
I think we're in that age.
Yeah, I gotta say this. And there's a phenomenon going on around right now. I don't know if you guys know, one that I deeply admire, who tap into what they think is an entity, and they give it a name, and they channel. Channelers.
Yeah.
I gotta tell you, there's one that I deeply respect, and there's profound stuff that's been said to me, you know, that's been written and I've read, Jerry and Esther Hicks.
Yeah.
I mean, this goes on. There's channelers all over the place. There's fake ones and there's real ones.
Yeah.
And, you know, how you indicate it is your feelings. If you have overwhelming feelings for what you're reading, you know, it's truth.
Mm-hmm.
If you're feeling great about it and it just really speaks to you, it's truth.
Yeah.
And anyways, but I want to say this. I truly believe these individuals such as Jerry and Esther Hicks and whoever else is channeling beautiful stuff and not claiming it to be theirs. It is nothing but a tapping into their intuition, and that intuition is giving them access into the collective conscience, a collective of all of our, because we're all connected.
Mm-hmm.
Any information that has ever been discovered, is all released into the collective, and there's nothing but a simple them connecting into the collective conscience through intuition, and they come from an industrial age, so they don't know that is. So they make up an entity that's calling them Theo and Juliet and whatever they need to convince themselves that it's okay to tap into the collective and share it with the world.
Yes.
I don't know if I, you know what I mean? I think we're starting to see that evolution in channelers, but you're going to start to see, you look at the telephone. It started as this big freaking brick that you wore on your back, and now it's like on the palm of your hand. That's where intuition is going to go. Right?
I agree.
It's growing, right? Intuition's like a big telephone you wear on your back, and it's called Theo and Marcellus, who are from the 1800s, and they painted, and your name's Roberto, because that's how they knew you, right? But it's nothing wrong with that. It's like the big backpack.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, as we grow and learn that it's intuition, it's going to get simpler and simpler and simpler, and soon everybody's going to tap in. There's going to be no channeler that people pay to go and see because he's got profound stuff. Everybody's going to be able to tap into it.
I totally and absolutely agree with you there.
And that is nothing, my friends and Douglas, a sign of the beautiful, beautiful time to come. Intuition, I can promise you, is taking us into this next evolution, and it's going to be phenomenal. Imagine you can go into work, and you can now know if somebody's lying to you, if something's not right. It's going to be such a different, beautiful world. And those who lie and cheat and whatnot, they're going to have no job.
You know,
they're going to have no employees because no one's going to want to work for them. And, it's going to be a big disconnect, and you're either going to have to learn how to love and know that now people can see through your bullshit, and you're going to have to change.
Yeah.
Or be lonely with all these other people who can't connect like that.
Well, lies and secrecies won't have legs anymore.
Yes.
Now, you will. Truth will be evident, and we'll have to learn to deal with it. It's not so much truth, but the reality of things will be evident.
I love it.
You know, I want to throw
great,
this.
By the way, this was a very beautiful conversation. I feel it's so cool.
I'm so glad, Tyler. I miss you, man.
I miss you too, man. But this was, that was some really cool thoughts today. I'm thinking now. I love intuition. I think it's so cool, man.
You know, I'm gonna close with just because we're coming to the end, but I want to throw this out there because it is a big day for the elections tomorrow, and it is Super Tuesday, and I hope everybody judges people based on an important criteria. If there is not a judgment, but if you're looking for a person who's a good man in politics, I think there's got to be some basis for defining, you know, if that person's going to be good for us or not. And I think the most critical thing I look for in a politician is how do they feel about the value of life?
Yep.
If there's a man out there who believes that we can kill or harm or maim or do something to somebody else for a benefit to ourselves, even if that understanding is a war, That's a person who doesn't understand or value life,
and won't survive in this new evolution.
They can't. Life is everybody is. There is no inequality. And people out there that believe that we can do things to somebody that's a perfect being, a perfect spiritual being, because we're all perfect spiritual beings. We live not knowing we're perfect. Let's put it this way. You know, we grow into our understanding. We grow into the perfect beings we are to become. But if we have people out there like John McCain or Hillary Clinton, or any one of these politicians that is looking to perpetuate war for any reason whatsoever, I think we really got to take a hard look at these individuals and say, if they can't value all life, that means they actually within themselves think they're wise enough that they can say this life is more valuable than this life. That's not the sort of person I want in office. I really believe people should look at the politicians on some very fundamental issues. I just throw it out there because it is a big day coming up tomorrow, and I'd like people to think about that.
And, you know, guys, follow your intuition. Everybody has the ability. I believe there's been truthful psychics out there, truthful channelers, but I can promise you, it's so simplistic that they're nothing but an individual who's able to tap into their intuition and therefore have access to the collective conscience, and it's such an unknown thing to them that they call it psychic, that they're special. But every one of you, keep in mind, we all came from the same place. We all have hands, face, no one's alien looking or has, we all came from the same place. We all share the same deal. We all eat food. We all need water to survive. You can get to the same place. You can access the same information, and they're no different than you. And that's the new world.
And maybe they are you. Maybe they are. They're just that bigger part of you that you're not. Maybe we're not recognizing right now. I always think, I was very lucky in having a twin brother because I got to see two of me. But I see everybody as a part of me, and when I go to, when I die, I actually believe that on some level I'm going to be able to relive the experiences of anybody I want because they made that possible for me. They lived that other experience that I can live through their eyes all at once.
Yes.
So to me, there's a real benefit in believing that everybody out there is really me.
I love that.
And so I can't see killing myself. I can't see going out there and hurting myself because what I've really done is just taken something from myself away. It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any logical sense.
I have to add this, and this is what I needed to hear, and thank you. You just made me realize something. When someone at work is sad or upset, the reason why that energy affects us is because we are them. We're connected.
Yes.
We make different lives, obviously, but we're all connected as one. So when we hurt each other or we're having a bad day, it spreads, and then another has a bad day, and we're all connected. And once we realize that, wow.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Tyler, you gotta know I love you, my friend.
I love you.
I miss you. I wish I was there. To all of our BBS radio listeners, good luck tomorrow.
Yes.
Vote your conscience. We love you. Spend a little bit of time on inner dialogue with yourself. See how you feel about each individual. Actually feel about them. Don't use your mind.
Yes.
Use your heart.
Stop the logic.
Yeah, stop the logic.
Your heart, how you feel.
Tomorrow is going to be a wonderful day. I'm excited.
That sounds good. I'm excited. Big day.
Next week, Monday, same time, 9 p.m., Inner Dialogue with Douglas Newsom and Tyler Gallagher. We will be here for you. Until then.
Live with intuition and tap into your higher self.
Good night, Tyler. Good night, everybody.
Have a good one.